Hello again. Welcome to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's an abbreviated gardening show today, and we welcome gardener Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and horticulturalist Bob Graves of Fadigan's Nursery. Greg runs Ward's Nursery, a lawn and garden resource in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Bob is co-owner of Fadigan's Nursery in Latham, New York. And we welcome your calls. What we can get of them, we will get. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Bob Graves, thanks for hanging around. We appreciate you being here on this shortened edition of the program.
Yeah, I'm here and ready to go.
All right, man. Greg Ward, the weather's finally looking good, and we're getting ready to get out there and do some digging at our house.
We are, and I don't know if there's time because you want to do the calls, but I just made a little list of a couple things that, I think depending on your latitude, silver maples are in full bloom here in Great Barrington. Spring peepers, the official spring peeper pool was won by two people on Saturday. Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, what's this pool now?
So you pick a time when you think the spring peepers will sound in a particular location, in this case, Lake Mansfield, which is a little small lake in Great Barrington.
Right.
And if whoever's closest, there's two winners or two potential winners, who's ever closest can win in terms of their timing, but also whoever hears them first.
Ah, I see. Now, is gambling strictly legal in Massachusetts?
Oh, did I say gambling?
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry.
All right, fair enough. Let's leave that one alone. This email came in from Greg. Greg says, when's the best time to start growing corn? Do I start from seed inside? Does it need UV light? When do I transfer it outside? That's from Greg.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
You can put the corn right in the ground, directly seeding, and that's what all those big cornfields do. But probably best waiting until at least the second week in May the Berkshires and Albany area. If he's farther south, maybe a little sooner. But you can also start them in a little, seedling tray. I would also probably recommend just doing it outside. Mm-hmm. And the only reason to do that is so that you can not have any skips. In other words, you put 25 seeds in a row, and maybe you miss a few, they don't germinate or a crow gets them or something. So this way you're actually planting little plants and you're all set.
Bob, do you agree?
Yeah, you don't gain a whole lot by starting them ahead. Greg's right. You can minimize the losses that you have, but typically with corn, you're going to get a harvest almost as quick if you put it in the ground as it would if you started it ahead of time.
All right, I got to tell you, gentlemen, Bob Graves and you, Greg Ward, have been waiting for a half an hour. There's another Bob in Holyoke, Massachusetts, who has been waiting for 33 minutes. And Bob, you're on. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate you taking the call. Last fall, I was unable to get around to pruning our rose bushes or butterfly bushes because my wife was very ill. How low can I cut them now to get them started for this year?
Well, it's going to depend a little bit on what type of rose it is. Your hybrid teas, grandifloras, floribundas, you'd take them down, I think, what would you say, to 12 to 18 inches probably.
Yeah.
You want to do it relatively quickly. On the butterfly, you don't really know how much of that is going to leaf out at this point. You can nip it down, but depending upon how severe the winter was where you are, that may leaf out more than you think.
Yeah.
I'm in Holyoke.
I would just add, you did the right thing by waiting till spring. Those two plants we would recommend you not pruning in the fall. Maybe you've done it in the past, but because the winter can be severe, it really is safer to wait until now for the roses. And as Bob said, maybe on the butterfly bush, you wait a little while longer to see where it leaves out and then take it down accordingly in a third or a half or whatever.
Okay, the butterfly bush is probably 5 feet tall.
Yeah. So, it really depends. If you only want it to be 5 feet tall, you would take it down to, the same as a rose, so 12, 18 inches, so that you only get that 3 or 4 feet of growth in the year. But if you want it to get bigger, just thinning it cleaning it up and reducing it by, you know, a third to a half would be fine, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Well, that's very helpful.
Hey, Bob, thanks a lot. We appreciate you hanging around all this time. And let's go to Ellen in Saratoga. Ellen, you're on. Hello?
My question is, I have a hydrangea bush that I planted, I don't know, years ago. It's huge with big, beautiful green leaves, but I cannot get that thing to blossom. And I've tried pruning it at all different times. And I think one year I got one bloom, and that was it.
What color was the bloom when you...
answer to that. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, hang on just a second, Ellen. Go ahead, Bob.
What color was the bloom when you saw it?
It was white.
It was white. Okay.
Yep.
Now, I would have guessed that it was a macrophylla type, which are either usually pink or blue, because some of those are not fully hardy, bud hardy in this area.
You bet. Okay. Continue, Bob.
If you've had a hydrangea for that period of time and it's not blooming reliably, it's probably one that's just not hardy enough to flower in this area, which, you know, happens occasionally with, you get things that are not fully hardy, in which case I'd remove it and put something else in. It's usually not a fertilizing issue on those, although it can be with some newer types. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, I think what you said is it. If it's still kind of trying to figure out which one it is, you know, might help us a little more, but I think if it hasn't bloomed in 8 years, why wait any longer?
It's the gardening show today. Bob Graves is here from Fadigan's Nursery and Greg Ward from Ward's Nursery. If you have a question, give us a call. It's a short show. We'll try to get you in. 800-348-2551. Bill in Western Massachusetts. Bill, you're on.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Last fall, I bought a winterberry bush that had beautiful red berries on it. I bought two of them, actually. I gave one to some friends, and the one friend said, well, you need two. You need two genders. And how does one determine the sex or gender, whatever the right term is, for a winterberry?
Hmm.
Well, if it had berries, it was a female, obviously. And what you do is you have to buy a male. I mean, you gotta go, and there's a bunch of different males. It's a little hard to determine which one you need because they bloom at different times sometimes. The other thing is there may be a male in the area that will pollinate it, so maybe it'll pollinate by itself. But you're right. You have to have a male and a female on those.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bill. And let's see now. We'll go to Carol in Waterford. Carol, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have a Christmas amaryllis, which I started late. And the flowers are gone, and but I have five beautiful leaves, and I would like to know, what is the care of the bulb at this point? Do I keep watering it?
I'm sorry, I was distracted. I missed the name of the bulb.
Amaryllis.
Oh, the amaryllis. Great.
The amaryllis.
Yep. You want me to do that one? So amaryllis, sure, is pretty darn fun plant. So it flowered, now you have leaves, and you want to keep those leaves nice and green right till the middle end of summer, if possible. And so sometimes people will keep them inside, of course, until late May, and then maybe just set them outside in any location, usually part sun on a porch or under a tree, and then kind of forget about them. Most of the time, the summer takes care of them. And then when you bring it in September, October, you would stop watering it and put it in a cool, dark place. So the basement works really well, and let it rest for about 90 days or so, 3 months, and just in sort of a cool, dark area. The leaves will dry up and turn brown. That's fine. The bulb will just be resting, and you can do that in the soil it's in. And then usually within 90 days, it starts to sprout again. And if it had a good spring and summer this past year where it was growing well and maybe you added some nutrients to the soil, then it will have reset a flower bud, and that bud will grow up and bloom again for you in November, December, January. Start the cycle all over again.
Oh, I thank you. That's wonderful advice. But from now until I put it outside,
bright window.
Do I water it and keep it in the sun?
Yep, keep it, just treat it like your other house plants. You know, they don't take a lot of water. There's not a lot of leaves there, and it's got a big bulb. So water it as it needs it and put it in a nice bright window.
Carol, thank you very much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Gardening Today. Bob Graves at Greg Ward joins us. Join us, and let's go to Chris in Housatonic. Chris.
Yeah, Greg. Gordon, I got a question for you. Can you grow hot peppers?
Me personally?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not hard to grow them. Every year, you know, is different. Some years are better crops than others, but getting the plants into the ground, not before the end of May, even waiting into June, you know, in our area is not a bad idea. In as sunny a location as you have, and, you know, otherwise the soil should be well composted. I would recommend an organic fertilizer in addition to that worked around the plants, and let summer do its thing. And you should have some, you know, in August, September, October.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. We'll take a quick break here and back to the calls and the emails in a moment with Bob Graves, Greg Ward. Gardening Today, we'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Bob Graves from Fadigan's Nursery and Greg Ward from Ward's Nursery here. And Bob, will throw this one to you. This one came in from Wade via the email. Wade writes, something, I assume deer, ate all my Vinca periwinkle over the winter. This has never been an issue before. Will it grow back? What should I do to help it along?
Yeah, well, I'm going to give a general answer to that because we're getting a lot of questions about deer damage. Usually, yes, things are going to grow back. I had somebody today.
Oh, I think we lost. Are you still there, Bob? Hello, Bob. Hello. How about Greg? Greg, you want to pick it up?
I'm still here, yeah. Yeah, so vinca should grow back if it's established. That's, you know, especially if it's the first time around, things usually pop back pretty well. I think Bob was going to say, really surprised that vinca was, as maybe the caller was saying as well, was browse. It's not typical. But this winter, with all that snow later on in the winter, really made it difficult for the deer to move around. And when they found something to eat, they stayed there.
Okay, and once again, Bob Graves. We lost him mid-sentence, and we'll get him back here in a moment. You know, Greg, we've been doing these pandemic lockdown versions of the show for over a year now. It'd be great to have you guys back in the studio one of these days.
I miss you.
Yeah, it'd be great to have you back. This one's from Ben in Gilderland. We have wild black raspberry bushes on our property that have been there a long time, but we only just discovered them. They gave a great harvest last year. What is the best way to prune them to keep them healthy for this summer? And that's from Ben in Gilderland.
Yeah, that, most people, you know, just sort of have that patch and let it, you know, they creep along. You get it all grown up in one spot, and then it sort of moves, you know, a few feet every year. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to cultivate them, you would do it similarly to other, you know, cultivated raspberries and blackberries. And that is to take out all of the old, what are now dead canes, the canes that fruited this last summer that you got the harvest from, can be removed, cut down to the ground. And the newer canes, and they're fairly easy to tell apart because not only are they still alive, but they're also usually a different color. They're going to be a greener, actually it has a little white sort of patina to it. So those would be the ones you would leave. And so just getting rid of the congestion of all the old wood is the first thing to do. You know, they're probably growing in a weedy patch, and it's kind of difficult to clean that up. But if you can sort of cultivate lightly around them to get rid of competing weeds, that's going to be helpful. Maybe a little mulch in there to keep that from reoccurring. And that's about it.
Okay. Greg Ward is here, and Bob Graves is back. And because you left us high and dry mid-sentence, Bob, I'll give you a question about bishop's weed. Kelly writes, I have a lot of bishop's weed in my yard that has taken over my perennials. I'm ready to dig up the beds and mulch them. What should I do to attempt to kill the weed, or is it a lost cause? And that's from Kelly.
Oh, boy. It's difficult to get rid of that one. I mean, if you dig it up, you have to get all the roots, and it'll come back, and you have to dig it up again. You know, if you have an area where you can put some black plastic down and let it go fallow for a while, just cook the weed under some black plastic. It's a hard thing to get rid of, very difficult. But either continuously dig it up or maybe some black plastic down and try to cook it.
Aren't you glad you came back?
Yeah.
It's always good to have those questions. April in Poughkeepsie. April, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
So I had four basil plants that I got going really good last year, and I brought them inside over the winter, and the poor things barely survived, but they're actually starting to come back to life a little bit right now, and I just wanted to know when to plant them back outside again. I don't want to kill them again after they've valiantly made it through the winter.
Yeah.
I would first like to say that is awesome that you had basil plants last year.
I live in the city, so there's very few sunny windows. So I kept having to rotate them all over the house.
you get an A plus in my book. So they like it warm. So your apartment must be nice and warm and sunny. And so you want to wait until that happens again before you put them outside. They really don't want it to be, below 50. 60 degrees nights. Would be recommended. So yeah, late May is usually okay, but sometimes you have to wait till June. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you.
Whenever that weather is consistent.
April, thanks a lot for the call. Now let's go to Diego in New Paltz. Diego, you're on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I've been reading a lot about, hemp plants lately, and I was wondering if you guys have any tips for growing them.
Huh. Now, New Paltz is not, it's going to be legal soon, but not exactly yet. Just throwing that out there. Now
I'm trying to get prepared.
All right. Greg Ward, it's been legal over there for a while. Why don't you let us know?
To be honest, I don't grow any, myself, and so I am not really up on the specifics of it, but the general techniques are, growing them, inside or out. If you're inside, you're going to use supplemental light, unless you have a greenhouse, and then outside, you can grow a nice summer crop. Finding the cultivars is probably the number one challenge, and so you'll want to order those in from wherever they're supposed to come from. Putting them in a container. So growing them in a container is going to probably also be a little easier to take care of, because in order to get them to bud up well, you're going to want to be adding nutrients, and they come as water-soluble organic products now to the plant as you water. Not sure if that answers all of your questions.
That's great. Thank you. Sounds like I'm speaking to quite the expert. Thank you, guys.
You want to weigh in there, Bob? Go ahead.
Well, the only thing I'd add is when you're growing something like that inside, the intensity, the brightness of the light that you need is remarkable. I mean, it's almost going to be like you're using street lights inside to get enough light to grow something like that.
All right, let's go to Bill in Newburgh. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Thanks. So I have a Coosa dogwood in my front yard that I planted a few years ago when we first moved in the house, and it's in full sunlight, and it's doing well. First couple years, it had some water suckers, and I tried to pay attention and keep watering it, but it inconsistently flowers. So I'll get one part of the tree that has a good flower to it, but the rest of the tree will just be leafed out. So do you have any suggestions on how to get a more, well-rounded flowering out of the tree?
Well, my guess would be on a – coosas flower pretty reliably in most situations, but if it's out in full sun, my guess is that during the course of the winter, those buds may get a little too warm on a cold day. particularly if the side that doesn't flower would be the south or the west. It may be that you need to protect it from the sun in the wintertime, because sometimes plants will heat up in the wintertime on a cold day, but then when the sun goes below the horizon, it cools off very quickly and buds can be hurt. It happens on Jap maples. It can happen on dogwoods. But my guess would be that it would like to have a little bit of shade in the wintertime.
Yeah. And
okay.
I would just add that they do cycle a little bit, so you can have heavy years and light years. Yep. That does happen.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. And now we go to Virginia, who's in Massachusetts. Where are you in Massachusetts, Virginia?
I'm in Winchendon.
You are on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm in Winchendon, and that is right on the New Hampshire border, below Ridge, New Hampshire.
Gotcha.
Okay, my question is about blueberry bushes. Is it too late to transplant one? Our ground is still frozen, and there's like a 20-year-old that's really big that we want to put in line with the other ones that we have on the other side of the property.
No, I think you're early.
Yeah, you're a little early.
You're early.
Yeah, so wait till the frost is gone. So let everything thaw out completely, and once the ground has sort of dried a bit and is firm, not mucky anymore, then, yeah, you can transplant it. So maybe in another 10 days or so. So anytime in April before they really flower is ideal. So you still have several weeks, I think.
Yeah, maybe a little tough this year because we got this early warm weather, so we may have to transplant them as soon as possible because things may leaf out earlier if this warm weather continues.
Yeah. I live by a lake, and things are really frozen, and there's still a good 8-inch layer of ice across sections of people's yards.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we got to wait.
She's up there. Yeah, so I think you got 2 weeks, but as Bob said, once everything is ready, you know, once you've prepared, you're prepared to do it, don't put it off another week.
Virginia, thank you very much for the call. And Sarah in Clifton Park, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love this program.
Oh, thanks.
I was wondering about bulbs. I didn't get to plant all of the tulip and the daffodil bulbs that I have in the fall, and I was wondering if it's too late to plant them now.
It is getting late. It you know, if you have the energy, it won't hurt to try to put them in there, but they need, you know, it's usually like, 13 to 15 weeks of cool weather, you know, ideally in soil where they can slowly root out. And we just don't have that left, you know, in spring. So they may just not do anything. But if you know, what are you going to lose by putting them in?
Right.
Do you think that they will bloom if I plant them now, just by taking the chance?
I think if you want to plant them now and try to keep them cooler longer, put them at the depth, you know, the typical depth, which is 4 or 5 inches of soil on top, but then add another temporarily 4 or 5 inches of a mulching material that will really keep the ground cool so that you're sort of delaying spring a little bit, and that could help. But there really isn't a lot of time. If it cools down for April and May and, you know, it's snowing on Mother's Day, then maybe, but it does need to stay cool.
All right, quickly to George in Putnam Station. George, you're on.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I just want to ask you, I have two azalea bushes which were thinned out last 10 years ago. I want to know how fervently should I go at these sticks, you know, before the yellow flowers come. I've never touched them except to keep them from encroaching on a sidewalk. That's all I've ever done. I've given them a haircut. So you're talking to a novice here.
So what is your goal? Do you need to trim them?
I thought they'd just keep blooming and topple over under their own weight. They don't, you know, it's not a, what do I do to keep them from toppling over then, is my question.
Yeah. Well, typically on azaleas or any flowering plant, the ideal is to trim them after they flower so that you don't lose the flowers. It doesn't hurt them if you wanted to trim them now, but you're going to lose all those flowers that you take off. So if you could wait until, you know, a little later, June maybe, and trim them after they flower, that would be the best time. And typically not take off more than, 25, 30% at any one time.
Right. All right, George. Go ahead, Greg.
I would definitely agree with Bob in that you should wait till June. This will also, it will leaf out and grow some more, but by pruning them in June, it also sort of, you kind of eliminate the whole first sprouting, you know, first growth spurt, and now you're into the slower summer one, so it won't gain as much time. And you don't want to wait till July or August, because now you're starting to affect next year's bloom. And then just since you've been shearing them forever, what you can do to make them smaller is look at the plant, follow the larger stems that go from the very top, maybe have lots of little stems at the top, but go from the very top all the way to the bottom of the plant, to the ground or close to the ground, and take out, you know, one or two of those tallest ones. And when you do that, you pull them out, the plant still looks pretty, and it's suddenly shorter. If that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So rather than shearing the top off, you're going to kind of pull out whole stems from the base. Just a few of them, 20%, as Bob said, 20-25%.
Makes a great deal of sense. Greg Ward, how do we find Ward's Nursery on the internet?
Oh, yeah, wardsnursery.com, and, of course, over in Great Barrington at 600 South Main Street.
Hey, man, thanks a lot for being here. Bob Graves, how do we find Fadigan's?
Well, fadigansnursery.com, and we're on Troy Schenectady Road in Latham, 3 miles west of Route 87.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you sitting on hold for 32 minutes while we waited to start the show, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Support comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, providing more than 40 miles of trails for nature therapy and exploration beyond the shore of Lake George. HikeLakeGeorge.org. Once again, thanks to Greg Ward and Bob Graves for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us on a shortened edition. We will have these guys back very soon, and we will get to more of your calls and more of your emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Wes Burton screened the calls today. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Food Friday. And you like the tea? Do you like to have a nice sip of tea every now and again? We got some experts with us tomorrow, Harney and Sons, or at least, you know, one of them will be here. And we'll talk tea. That's tomorrow at 2:00.